We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Great worship set. Amen. How great thou art. And I love to just hear the voices singing. I love our instruments. Can we give our orchestra a big hand? They do such a great job with all of the music and our ladies who sing on the platform, Pastor Chad. But there is just something significant and special about just hearing from the greatest instrument ever given to us, and that's the voice that God gave us. And I love to hear those voices, even if you're a little pitchy and off key, you know, it still sounds good to our Heavenly Father. Amen. And so thankful for that. It's nice to have Gerald Ziemer and his family here tonight. Let's welcome them. We're glad they're here. And I saw him in the hallway, and he said they're going to be heading out of town, and he said they didn't have a commitment tonight, so he said we're going to go to Faith Baptist Church. I thought that was a great decision, and glad he's here. Many of you know we're going to be going over to his neck of the woods in Romania, taking a crew up there with you. I think we've got 15 or 16 coming. I hope you take good care of them, Gerald. We'll pray for you. Amen. All right. They're going to be heading over there for about 10 days, and Pastor Mike is spearheading that, and so we're excited about that. Tonight, I mentioned this morning that my dad is going to be preaching tonight. And before he comes, just a couple of things. First of all, many of you know, and I've shared with you, that there have been multiple men in my life that God used to pour into me and to help me become and still become the man that God has called me to be, and trying to still become that man, striving in many ways. But there have been some very key players, if you will, in my life that God has placed. And I think perhaps the biggest key player has been my father. There's really no words to try and explain to you his influence and his impact in my life. My dad didn't grow up really in a traditional home setting. He actually grew up in an orphanage and didn't really have a father figure in his life. But when he came to know the Heavenly Father, God changed him. And I always thought it was a bad deal after my dad got saved, because all of a sudden I was getting whoopings and getting in trouble. And I was like, man, this going to church thing kind of stinks. You know, this isn't really cool. But it wasn't until later that I come to appreciate it. My whole start in ministry and in serving Christ in a full-time capacity came as a result of my dad's influence in my life. And Dad, there's really no way to thank you for all that you've done and the impact you've had. And when you look at all of these people, and I say this to God be the glory, you actually have had a hand in influencing all of these people as well, because your influence in me has caused me to be standing behind this sacred desk. And if it wasn't for your influence in my life, I don't know where I'd be. And I appreciate your love and putting up with all of my foolishness. I appreciate your support all of these years. Many of you know he's transitioned back here to the U.S. now, and is back home here in America. And I'm thankful for that, thankful for him. And we have something very special planned for Father's Day that involves my dad, it involves Chad's dad, and it involves Pastor Micah's dad, and that is going to take place on Father's Day. That's all I'm going to tell you, okay? If you want to know what it is, what do you have to do? You have to be here. So, Dad, I love you. I'm glad you're here. Much of what I'm able to do is because of your faithfulness, and so, church, would you help me welcoming my dad to preach tonight?
Well, he at least didn't accuse me of having a bad voice. My son up in Omaha said my dad blessed me with a lot of things, but he didn't transition his bad voice. I want to say it's great to be back with you. I remember when Todd first moved down here. I remember my first visit to the church was a men's prayer breakfast. Some of you were there. I still remember the faces. And I thought, you got your work cut out. And I went in the auditorium, we had the worship service, and I marvel in life what God can do when someone will surrender their life. I'm very proud of my son, both of my sons, and I thought I'd tell you some stories about him tonight, but I realize there's a premium to that, so I'll hold that till he takes his first pot shot at me. And from the pulpit, and then I will retaliate.
I've been good so far.
Yeah, that's right. And I do believe in forgiveness. But anyhow, it's good to be back in America. I've been gone for, 33 years now and 4 months. And it's not the America I left. It saddens me to see the disrespect for one another, our government, just the unbelievable change that has taken place. To be quite honest with you, my wife and I feel like aliens. When I came into the country, I thought, where am I coming to? What's going to await me? But anyhow, it's good to be back home. There's one thing that I have discovered that England has in common with the United States. Both countries have drivers that are idiots. I don't know where this mindset comes from, that red means stop and then go as fast as you can before the light changes. Or you don't stop and you just zip through the intersection and hope you don't get whacked. But anyhow, it is good to be with you tonight. I'm glad to be back home in my country. And I'd like to share with you tonight some thoughts. I want you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 through 15. I've entitled this message tonight, and if you can stand, would you stand for the reading of God's Word as we'll open in God's Word and then have a word of prayer and then be seated. I'm going to share with you tonight what I've entitled the message tonight, The Big Myths of Forgiveness. The Big Myths of Forgiveness. And so we'll pick up the reading in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse number 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Heavenly Father, we stand here tonight, and if you'll not meet with us, our time will be in vain. Holy Spirit, if you'll not touch our hearts, we'll leave here empty. I know this subject tonight oh so well. I know how it has destroyed families. I know how important it is to you. I would pray earnestly, Lord, that in these next few moments, all of us in this room would forget about everything. And just for a few moments, Lord, concentrate on this subject. There could be those with us tonight that are lost. Our prayer then is for them that they might come to know you as their personal Savior and have a relationship with you. To those that are backslidden, we pray earnestly, Lord, that you draw them in. Those that are indifferent, we pray for the fire to be rekindled. And so we ask your blessing on the preaching of the gospel now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I think one of the greatest subjects in the Bible is this subject of forgiveness. For many years as a pastor, I have counseled with people, I have talked with people, and I have found that in almost every instance, when there is a conflict, there is also an issue with non-forgiveness. Now, if I were a betting man tonight, I would take a bet from anyone in this room that there are people in this room tonight that have decided in their life that they're not going to forgive someone. I would say tonight there are those in this room that are struggling with forgiveness. But yet it has a profound effect on our lives. And so some time back I sat down and I started to pray about this subject, and I put together this message, you know, the big myths. These myths I share with you tonight are those that I've accumulated over the years in the pastorate. These are ones that I've heard with my own ears. These are the ones that I've tried to help people with. And maybe tonight I can help you if you struggle with non-forgiveness. So if you have your outline tonight, I know it's going to pop up here shortly in our church. We didn't have fancy things like this, but I like them. It leaves you without no excuse. Here's the first myth. The first myth is, I should only forgive if they apologize. I've heard this in my office. You know what? I am not going to do anything. They really, they're going to have to apologize to me for their actions. Well, here's the thought. Jesus always initiated forgiveness. Don't you ever forget that. Jesus initiated forgiveness. Now in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, the Bible says this, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." And here Jesus is on the cross, could have said anything. The last words coming out of his mouth is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Then you get into the book of Ephesians. Here Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus and is expounding on this subject of forgiveness. And here's what he says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. If you want to know how to forgive, here's the blueprint. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Well, how has God forgiven us? Totally. And when God forgives, He elects to forget. That's the choice He makes. He doesn't hold it over our head. He doesn't bring it back up to us. And so, sometimes we get this notion, well, they're going to... Listen, here's what's going to have to happen. They're going to have to apologize. There's going to have to be some apology going on here. Not true. It doesn't exist. Normally, that perception, at the heart of that lies this thought, they're going to have to come. Maybe that's you tonight. I'm going to give you very quickly three things you ought to understand about forgiveness. Now, they're not in your notes tonight, you might want to jot these down. How do I really know if I've forgiven someone? Now, you got to understand something. If you don't get anything tonight, get this. You do not have an on and off switch in your head. When you forgive somebody, the switch doesn't go off and stay off. You got to understand that. So there are three things that take place that you've got to evaluate in your life. Here they are. You might be on the road to forgiveness when, number one, you don't bring it up to yourself. Number two, you don't bring it up to others. And number three, you don't bring it up to the person that you've asked for forgiveness or has forgiven you. Now, if you have those three intact, you may be well on the road to forgiveness. It's not an easy thing. And so you have this first myth here, I should only forgive if they apologize. Here's the second one. Forgiveness requires release from consequences. Forgiveness requires release from consequences. Sounds good on the surface. But here's the thought. If someone steals from you, forgiving them is in no way removing them from the liability of the act. Let me tell you how this works. You can prove this for yourself. Next time you go down the highway, I have a tendency to call it the motorway. You just have to forgive me. I've been in England 33 years. I was back here telling Todd the other day I was going down the motorway. He said, "Dad, in America we call it the highway." I said, "God bless you, Todd." And you get pulled over by a police officer and he says, "Hey, look, you've been speeding. Well, would you forgive me?" You know he's going to say, "Sure. Here's the ticket, though." Let me tell you a story. This was before Todd started working with me. We worked together some 15 years in the pastorate. We had someone break into the church. And they stole just about everything they could take with them. I didn't know that the church had been broken into. One of the constables called me on the phone and said, "You need to come down and to the police station in Milton." Oh, by the way, if you want to know what Todd was a jokester about, he would imitate the British police officers. He'd call the guys at work and he'd say, "Hello, this is PC Reed." Is your name Harry? Don't you know we've caught you speeding? Report to the police station. And he'd wind them up. And I would sit in the office and laugh with him. So, you know, confession's good for the soul. I know. But that's mild. And listen, I'm going to tell you, he's not an angel with wings. Trust me. And so I got called down to the police station. And they call them the holding pens or the holding cells. And the guy called me down and said, can you identify this guy? So you get down in this dreary-looking, it looks like it's the 1800s type cells. And the guy pulls a little thing back, and you look in there, and there's a guy sitting in there. And he says, can you identify this guy? And I said, not really. So he closed. He said, now look, you need to look in there again. And I look in. No, I don't know. So anyhow, 2-3 months go by. I get a call from this particular person's solicitor. That's a lawyer. And he said, Reverend Adams, he said, I got a question for you. He said, do you believe in forgiveness? I said, I most certainly do. And then he proceeded to tell me about his client was facing some time in prison and that he had been involved in several robberies. And if I would forgive him, why, that would be the end of it. And I told the solicitor, I said, well, I have forgiven him. I said, but I also believe in what you sow, you reap. Now, the solicitor in England, they would say, became gobsmacked. He didn't know what to say. And he said, are you telling me that there's a difference? I said, oh, there definitely is a difference. What you sow, you reap. And here's what I'm saying to you tonight. Some people play you with forgiveness. They play you. So they don't have to face their responsibility for their actions. They use forgiveness in that manner. Now, here's a thought. This is Zacharias. And in Luke chapter 19, verse 8 through 9, he says, and Zacharias stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, well, we know he did. I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. He knew that there was an accountability for his actions. And often I have watched teenagers use this on their parents, and there seems to be no consequence for anything. And so you have this myth that if I apologize, nothing's to happen. My younger son, Troy had a problem with stones. He had a problem with throwing things. He broke the window in the house. He even broke the back window of my car. And he always used to say to me, well, Dad, if you forgive me, we can let this go. No, we can't let this go. There's accountability. And by the way, let me say this tonight with all the love I can. You don't help someone. You don't help someone if you do not expect them to be responsible for their actions. You don't help them. Don't be fooled by this. It's a myth. Here's the third one. Before forgiving the offender, you must feel like forgiving. Wow, that sounds good. What does that feel like? I have to feel like. I was listening to a radio program some years ago when I was in the States, and there was a woman on it. She was on a talk show with a very popular radio host in America on a Christian radio. And she herself was a somewhat of notoriety. She published books, and she made this comment about non-forgiveness. And it has never sat right with me. She said, when I don't want to forgive someone, she said, I just put them in a little prison cell in my mind until I want to release them. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. It's not a feel-good type thing. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an act of the will. That's what it is. It's not a feeling. It's an act of the will. And so the idea here is, when we get into this situation, we're supposed to forgive. Now, Peter comes to Jesus, and he's perplexed about forgiveness. You'll know this. This is a familiar portion of Scripture. Here it is. It's in Matthew 18, verse 21 through 22. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say, not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." It's not a feeling. It's a responsibility. It's an act to say, listen, I'm going to forgive you. Some of you sitting here tonight have stopped forgiving. It's an act of the will. And so I don't always feel good about it. But I have to forgive. By the way, I always have said this. If you live by your feelings, you die by your feelings. I am the worst person to take to a grocery store and I'm hungry. If you think I'm going to look at fruit and vegetables, you're crazy. If you think I'm going to look at healthy food, it's not going to happen. You see, I have this problem when I go shopping. You pick up a box, you turn it around to the back, and you read it, and it has zero this, zero this, zero this, zero this, zero this. Well, then what's in it? Have you ever thought about it? What's in it? All these things are zeroed out. No fats, no carbs, no transit fats, and all this stuff. And you're thinking, okay, I get that. But what's in there? And so when I go to the store, my wife, she kind of makes it a point to leave me at places where she can go shop without me, because my feelings, the way I feel about when I get hungry, is not very healthy. I go right to the donuts. I'm telling you what, I've been to, what's the name of the store we're going down here to in Amarillo? Publix. They're not stupid. The donuts are right when you walk in. They're not stupid. They put them out on the table and they set them up real nice and neat. And I go, man, they look good to me. And then they have this little thing, 2 for 1. You know, or buy one and get 2 free or whatever it is, you know. Todd's always told me, he said, it's cheap to get fat in America. And I got to stay away from places like that. Can I tell you what your problem tonight in Christianity you're going to face more than anything else is your feelings. It doesn't feel good to do right. But after you get these things off your chest, so to speak, there is a release. And I've had people sit in my office. I had a young couple one time. I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel like it. And I tried to share with them, it's not about what you feel. Christianity seems to be a feely type thing. It's not a feely type thing. It's doing what's right. I just don't feel that. Peter said, Jesus, how often do I got to keep this up? You just keep right on doing it. You keep right on doing it. And sometimes you'll forgive someone your entire life and there'll be no reciprocation. But you still continue to forgive. And some of you tonight, you think, well, I've had enough. I don't want nothing more to do with them. But you got to forgive. Some years ago, we had a fellow in our church. And this fellow, when he was in high school, he stole his dad's car one night. Went out joyriding. And his dad caught him. And really, he I would suspect, tried to put the fear of God into him. But he didn't get the message. The next night, he decided to steal the car again. But this time he took his brother with him. They were speeding down a road, hit the corner of a bridge, and went off the bank. He killed his brother. I didn't know the depth of what had happened in his life, but I knew there was something very disturbing in this man's life. And one day he conveyed to me the story I just shared with you. And this is what he said. If only my daddy would forgive me, I could move on. That's all I want. If my dad would just forgive me. And as I stand in the pulpit tonight, as far as I know, his dad still hasn't talked to him. You see how it hurts when you don't forgive? I had another young man in our church in England. He used to come in. He always sit on the left side. I'm good by remembering people by where they sit. So if you change where you sit, here's what I think. Spiritual, not so spiritual problems. In the corner, you're out the door. It's not right, but that's what I do. And this fellow always sat over here. And I remember, I used to think this guy ate nails for breakfast. Never had anything nice to say, just totally, what I would say, discombobulated. And one night he come to church on a Wednesday night, and he's just jumping around, raising his hand when we're giving praise, having a praise service. And this is what he said. He said, I've listened, talking about me, preach about forgiveness. And he said, I'm not going to go into it. He said, but this afternoon, when I was at work, he said, I forgave my father. He said, it was like a stone, a boulder came off my back. And you know, till that guy left England, he was a changed man. He was a changed man. And Peter said, how long? You just keep forgiving. You don't know the hurt that somebody else is bearing. Here's a fourth one. Before forgiving, you must understand why the offender hurt you. Before forgiving, you must understand why the offender hurt you. Here's the simple truth of this one. The truth is, we will never always understand why people do what they do. I'm going to tell you something about my life. I spent 18 years in an orphanage. That's where I met my wife. And I grew up always wondering about God. And to be quite frank with you, I grew up hating my parents. Despising them. And I remember when I got saved in California, I don't think it was about 24 or 48 hours, God started to speak to me about my mother and my father. I didn't realize how much hatred was inside of me. And I remember as a very young Christian, God speaking in my heart and said, Tom, as I've forgiven you, you have to forgive your parents. And I can remember saying, no. No. I want to talk to my dad one time. Just one question I have for him. Why? And I remember God dealing with my heart and saying, Tom, I've forgiven you. You got to forgive your parents. And I remember the day I forgave my mother and my father. I still don't understand why. I want this side of heaven. And some of you have been hurt, and you struggle to understand why. And there are no answers in this life. There's going to be no understanding. Growing up in a children's home, I would watch parents bring their kids, throw them out the car. I've seen them kick them out the car. I've seen them come back where they've been bruised by their parents' father. I don't understand that. The kid would keep going back wanting to be with his parents. Some of you have that going on in your life. You want the answer. Here's something I've come to understand about this thought. I don't think that we could handle the answer. And therefore, God doesn't give us the answer. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
You see? Sometimes the answer hurts worse than the offense. And so, we'll not understand. Here's a verse I hope will help you tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, I've held on to this verse for years in my life as a go-to verse when I don't always understand things. Here it is. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. You see, Paul was saying, I see through a glass darkly, or I see through this fogged glass. And I don't see everything, and I don't understand everything. And neither will you. Now, if you only after years of being out of a children's home, I look back, and some people probably wouldn't agree with me, I believe all the way back then God was shaping my life for the future. I mean, I was a rascal. No one had to tell me I was a sinner. That didn't take place. I knew that. But when I look back at that, I think of the verse in the Bible where it says, when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And He took me up at that point in my life. And He carried me right to where I'm at in the pulpit tonight. Did I understand those 18 dark years of my life? No. Would I want to share a lot of that? No. But it brought me to where I am tonight. And I've learned one thing, and I hope I can share this with you. You don't see it all, you don't understand it all, and you never will in this lifetime. So you got to get over this thing. Until I can understand it, I'm not going to forgive them. Do you know, when my boys were growing up, they would do things. How many of you had this happen? You ask your child, why did you do that? I don't know. Do you know, I used to think that they always would know. I don't anymore. I don't. I honestly don't. I don't think they really don't know why. You know? And you know, we sit and chuckle about that. It's an enjoyable thing. You know, I remember one time one of the boys got caught him stealing, appropriating cookies without asking. What are you doing? I don't know. You know, it's bad enough you catch him in the act, but then the hand is still looking to get away with it. And then somehow they're going to pull that out and put it behind their back, and you're going to go, wow. But you don't understand. You want to get hurt out of your life? Stop trying to figure everything out. Here's the greatest truth I can leave with you. Foster your relationship with God. You just foster that relationship with God. And a lot of the things that concern you will no longer concern you. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And so we see through this glass. We don't see everything at this point. I can tell you this. When I had an assignment to Europe, I was originally going to go to Germany. I'd been to Germany in the 70s, and I took an assignment. I was supposed to go back to Germany, and I was reassigned to England. And I got promoted, so they sent me a message down, and they said, "We're going to redirect your assignment. You're going to go to England." I said, No. I don't want to go to England. And I remember when the airplanes came in, we started to land. We went down through the fog. And I told Margie, "This is our lot. Look at it." And I remember getting off the airplane. It was sleet. I don't know if you remember, it snowed the next day. It was cold and damp. I said, no. And then I started singing that song, "I want to go home." Yeah, you know it, huh? And so my thought was, okay, I can put up with this for 36 months, but I'm out of here. And then God called me to preach. And so I refused to surrender. I'm stubborn that way. And Marge said to me one Saturday, she said, "Listen, why don't you just surrender to preach so you can finally sleep on Saturday nights and we'll go back to America." Sound good. Surrendered to preach. And then my hip went bad. It was the second operation. I've had four on my right hip. And then I thought, okay, I'll go back. Then God calls me to preach. And then I said, okay, I'll go back and go to school of Trinity. God says, "No, you're going to go back to England." "No, God, not England. Anywhere but England." 33 years and 4 months later, I've been released from my burden. But it was there that God called both my sons into the ministry. It was there that we sent people out into the mission field, the pastorate, to college. It was there that I've been able to see the hand of God move in ways that Todd could tell you we couldn't even explain. Trips into Romania and to Hungary. God allowed me to preach up in Iceland and just all kinds of things. And here's what it is. You and I don't always see what's in front of us. Before my wife and I left England, we went up to the church. The base is closing. Many of the people have already started to trickle down. They tore down two buildings like in about a week after they made the announcement. And we trickled way down. And so I knew that it was time to come home. And so Marge and I went up to the church. I stood behind a pulpit. And there we prayed. And I said, "God, thank you for the journey." Little did I know. Thank you for the souls. Thank you for sandpaper Christians. You know what a sandpaper Christian is? You do? Yeah. They rub on you so hard you get shiny and they get dull. I thank God for those kind of people. I told God, I said, "God, in my wildest dreams, could I have ever imagined what you'd do with me? Because we see through a glass darkly." Then we come to the last point tonight. It does not matter if I forgive them. That's a myth. Forgiveness cuts the emotional rope tying us to the offender. I held this verse to last, the one we started out with, to take us all the way full circle, that I might show you something tonight that really has a devastating effect on your walk with God. When you practice non-forgiveness, you cripple your relationship with God. Here's the verse again. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Understand that. It's predicated. Now here it comes. "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Oh, wait a minute. That's pretty strong stuff. Jesus is saying, listen, how can you hardly expect me to forgive you when you won't forgive others? What makes you think that you're exempt from forgiveness when I have died on the cross for your sins? And so some Christians live a life that's very mediocre with God. They struggle, they fight with everything. And sometimes at the very core of that is they just haven't forgiven other people, or they refuse to forgive. That's how serious it is. And by the way, you can look this up later, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Here Jesus said, listen, he said, if you even bring your gift to the altar, and there you discover that you have aught with a brother, he said, you pick that thing back up and take it home with you, and you get that sorted out before you come back. I don't even want that from you. That's why it's such an important subject. Big myth here. Does not matter if I forgive them. You know, I could probably give you about six or eight more. Here's another one that I've heard. I'll just let it go. Time heals everything. No, it doesn't. This one here, I'll deal with it another day. You know, I'm too emotionally upset about it. I just got to wait till they go on. So I guess the question tonight that we face in this room is simply this. Are you holding on to unforgiveness? What is it you're holding on to? Who is it that flashes in your mind when the first thing you hear is you have to forgive? Maybe tonight you're saying this, well, you know, I just would try to like to understand just a little more. You got to cut that loose. So there's a lot of myths out there. But the simple truth tonight is in this verse we started out with as we close tonight. Jesus says simply this, if you forgive others, I'm going to forgive you. If you don't, then I won't forgive you. That means you have aught not only with man, but you have aught in your relationship with God. So why not forgive? Why not let it go? Why hold on to something? By the way, when you decide in your life that you're not going to forgive, you're the only miserable person. Most people don't even know. I'm going to close with this. I think time's against me now. I remember one night, maybe Todd, you were there. We were getting ready to have the Lord's table. I had a lady walk down to the front, and she went over and she said, so I thought, this is strange. You know, you always have an altar call before the, at least we did there. We'd have an altar call before the Lord's table. You get your heart right. By the way, let me throw this in for free real quick here. Don't say I can't take the Lord's table because something's not in my life. Get it right. And so this lady walks down, she goes like this, and I walk over, and I said, what? She says, I hate you. Now I'm thinking to myself, okay, what do I do here? And she said, I forgive you, but I'm going to work on it. I said, you got it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't even know she didn't like me. Smiled at me when she came to church. Wave at me. You know why? Because we don't know what's inside that crusty heart of ours. And we can smile, but inside we have this unforgiveness, and it gnaws at us, and it tears at us. And you ought to be able to lay down on your bed at night and say, it's well with my soul. I said I was going to close, but this I will. In England, there was a friend of ours, Doug Peachy. Todd came back to visit with me. We were going to go over and see Doug. We waited one day too long, and Doug passed. And we really wanted to see Doug. He hired the boys to work and raised flowers. Doug used to have this saying. It's an old British saying. He said, if something bothers you during the day, it'll niggle you in the night. What's niggling you?
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.